This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 2, 2017. I'm Caleb Brown. President Trump hopes that tax reform will give the economy a boost, but where are the benefits to savers? The Cato Institute's Ryan Bourne and Chris Edwards say any serious tax reform should include what they call universal savings accounts, which have shown tremendous success in Great Britain and Canada.
Well, universal savings accounts are essentially supercharged Roth IRAs. Basically, people would put money into these savings accounts. So we think up to $10,000 a year would be a good contribution limit. And then you can withdraw the money anytime for any reason in the future. The earnings would compound over time completely tax-free. So you could save up for a family vacation, save up for retirement, save up for healthcare, education, anything you wanted to. I think these accounts would revolutionize savings. A bill's been introduced in Congress by Senator Jeff Flake and Representative David Bratt. And we have good real-world experience with such accounts. Both Canada and Britain have introduced these accounts in recent years, and they've been a really great success.
Well, the important thing from an economic perspective when you're thinking about tax reform is you want to move towards a situation where taxes are neutral between different types of activity. And the beauty of these accounts is that they're not only neutral between consumption and saving because they exempt the returns from saving from being taxed, but they're also neutral in terms of the tax treatment of what people are saving for. Traditionally, governments have sought to incentivize savings by imposing different tax structures on the taxation of retirement savings. But this really incorporates all types of saving and whatever the individuals are looking to achieve. And in Britain, these accounts, as Chris has said, have been a remarkable success. Individuals are able to put in up to about $25,000 per year into these accounts from taxed income. Any returns then aren't taxed, and there are no penalties at all from withdrawing funds. They're completely liquid. And the proof is in the pudding, really. 43% of adults own these accounts. About 58% of those who own the accounts contributed to them last year. And the average annual contribution is very, very high, about $8,000 per year. So in terms of what people are actually deciding to do with their own money, these accounts appear an incredible success.
All right. So the Roth IRA is the obvious comparison for the United States. That is specifically for retirement. You pay some significant penalties for withdrawal early. So they're not ideal for savings. How do the universal savings accounts, why are they so much better than a standard, pocketbook savings account at your local bank?
Well, the problem now is that the federal government tries to micromanage personal savings. So we have Roth IRA accounts, we have traditional IRA accounts, we have other sorts of retirement accounts, 401ks, of course. There's SEPs and there's Simples and there's 529 education accounts and on and on and on. That's not the right way to go. I think that, if you believe in a free society and you believe in free individual choice, the government should set basic rules that create neutral and equal treatment for savings, then allow people to save for whatever they want. So that is the idea of the universal savings accounts. The government taxes the money once when you earn it, then you put the money into the account. It grows tax-free. It enhances you and your family's financial security in the long run, and you can withdraw for any reason at any time. So Britain has instituted these accounts and show that they work. And Canada in 2009 implemented these accounts too, which they call tax-free savings accounts. And again, they've been a spectacular success. So the idea is to get the government out of micromanaging why people save and just let people save for their own purposes.
Well, on the flip side of this, of course, the federal government through the tax code subsidizes debt.
Well, that's true. That's also a bad thing. I mean, I think as libertarians, we want the government to be as neutral and to impose as few distortions on the economy as possible. And through things like the mortgage interest deduction in the tax code, the fact that corporations can deduct their debt but not equity costs, the tax code is very biased toward debt, which is bad for the economy. And I think universal savings accounts and other reforms would move the tax code back to neutrality.
Okay, so in terms of investment options, is it appropriate to think of this as an IRA with no withdrawal penalty?
Well, yeah, the key feature of these accounts is that there's complete liquidity there. So people, different countries have done different things. In Britain, the government has imposed unnecessary complexity by having two types of accounts, cash ISAs and stocks and shares ISAs. But there's no reason really why you couldn't just have one type of an account and allow people to decide in which assets they invest on an individual basis. The key point here is the tax treatment and the lack of withdrawal penalties, which mean that not only are these incredibly simple, you're just putting money in from your post-tax income, but also you able to use that money if you need to for any reason at any time. And as Glenn Hubbard and others, famous economists, have previously said, that enhanced liquidity, we'd presume on the margin, would make people, especially those on low incomes, more likely to be willing to put money into these types of accounts in the first place.
All right. So in terms of investment options, the government loves to tax gains on capital. How would this impact the sort of standard investment decisions that people make now?
Well, the money in the universal savings accounts would never be taxed again by the government. It's you put it in, you earn money from wages, you pay tax, you have the after-tax cash, you put it into these accounts. The government it is never taxed again by either the dividend interest or capital gains taxation. And that's the beauty of it, is the government never has to look at this money again, never has to know about this money. You can invest, and again, it repeals the current double taxation of savings that we have under the income tax, and creates neutral treatment.
How widely used are these accounts in either Great Britain or Canada?
Well, in Britain, they're incredibly widely used. 43% of adults own them, and a huge proportion, I think close to 60% of people who own them, decide to contribute them on average over the last few years. It's not just that, but also these tend to be incredibly popular with people on relatively low incomes as well. About 55% of holders of the individual savings accounts in the UK earn less than $25,000 per year. And that's important because at the moment there's a lot of evidence that actually poorer Americans don't have the money saved aside for contingencies. So a study last year found that about half of Americans could not come up with $2,000 in 30 days. Other recent reports have suggested up to about a quarter of workers have less than $1,000 set aside. Having these types of savings accounts where individuals could feel as if they're saving for many different types of contingencies or many different types of potential lifestyle choices, but with that liquidity there, we'd imagine on the margin, as I suggested earlier, would lead them to be more likely to save in the first place. So we think that this could have a positive impact on creating a savings culture and enabling people to use those funds on a liquid basis to deal with the wants and needs that crop up in any family's circumstances, really.
Who on Capitol Hill is talking about this idea, and how likely do you think it will be a part of the tax reform that Republicans are trying to put together right now?
Well, we've been pushing this idea for a few years at Cato, and actually that prompted Senator Flake and Representative David Brandt to introduce legislation last year. And it also had prompted the Republicans to put this idea into their big tax plan that they put forward last summer. So I'm hoping if they move toward a final tax bill, later this year, that they will include such accounts, which I think, as Ryan and I talk about in our piece, would benefit all Americans, at all age groups, all income groups. Everyone would benefit from this. It would be a real win.
Is there a sense that maybe these might actually, for people who are scrupulous savers and don't like the penalty associated with IRAs of early withdrawal, that these could be accounts that you fill up before you put money into an IRA?
Well, it's important to remember that up until the age of 40, if you look at survey evidence, up until about the age of 40, people don't consider retirement as the main reason for saving. But yet all of the tax treatment that incentivizes saving in the tax code at the moment is directed towards retirement savings. So there are two big groups, I think, two big constituencies that would benefit from the introduction of these types of accounts. First of all, young people who have different saving needs, have different circumstances to deal with, but also very old people as well. well, because there are restrictions on what can be put into traditional IRAs and things for older people. And at certain ages, I believe, Chris is more of an expert on this than me, you can only make deductions from certain types of accounts and not contribute to them. So this would also provide a vehicle for older people, retirees, to continue to save if they were able to do so. So that those two groups would benefit overwhelmingly from the introduction of this type of policy.
You say $10,000. That's a nice round number, but is there any particular reason for that number versus another one or no number at all?
Well, right now, we're suggesting that, at the same time that Congress introduces these accounts, it repeals IRAs, both the traditional and Roth IRA, and perhaps some other accounts as well, because you wouldn't really need them anymore. There'd be no point putting your money aside into a Roth IRA, which currently has a contribution limit of $5,500 a year, because these accounts we're proposing here are superior. So if you wanted to simplify the tax code, get rid of some of the clutter there, like the special education accounts and the special retirement accounts, and put in these universal accounts that everyone can use for every purpose.
Ryan Bourne and Chris Edwards are scholars at the Cato Institute. Their new briefing on universal savings accounts is now available at cato.org. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.